The gospel lesson this morning, the first lesson from the Old Testament this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, 1 through 11. And if you would like to follow along in your pew Bible, you may do so on page 174 of the Old Testament. Hear now these words. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then, together with the Levites and the aliens you reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. This is the word of God written for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So the choir would have sung Elijah Rock, and it was a beautiful rendition. Thank you, choir. During Lent, William and I are going to be trying to offer you two Bible lessons each Sunday as a way of linking our past with our present and our future. So we will make the effort to read from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and also a reading from the New Testament. And in most cases, that will be from the Gospel according to Luke, as is the case today on the first Sunday of Lent. So I call your attention to Luke 4, verses 1 through 13 in your pew Bible on page 57. And this is a passage that comes right after the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and right after a long recitation of the ancestors of Jesus Christ. So this goes directly into what we know as the temptation of Jesus. So hear these words. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear him up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" And when the devil had finished every test, he had departed from him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, as I was thinking about these scripture passages, before Jane and Zach and I left for our eventful weekend trying to get to Moab, Utah, I was having a hard time coming up with something to say, something that I hoped would pull these readings together. As I thought about it, I realized I would be returning to Aurora the day before Ash Wednesday, and therefore right before the beginning of Lent. And as I was packing for our trip, it struck me that this passage from Deuteronomy talks to us about the Israelites' 40-year journey through the wilderness to the Promised Land. And then that reading from Luke tells us the story of Jesus' 40-day journey through the wilderness to the beginning of his ministry in Galilee. And as I put my hiking boots into the car, I realized that Jane and Zach and I were embarking on a 40-hour journey through the wilderness of southeast Utah to the beginning of Lent. Well, this pattern seemed to be a good connection. This wilderness journey leading on to something new and exciting and meaningful. And so I relaxed my preacher's anxiety with the hope that our wilderness time would allow me to come up with something to preach today. And after that trip, I have an especially vivid image in my mind of one moment during our time in God's Slick Rock wilderness. Our family had met another family, dear friends of ours from Cortez, for what had become our annual pilgrimage to Moab for the President's Day weekend. None of the six of us, were really concerned about where we would hike. We simply wanted to get out into the wilderness, to be together and to be away from other people. And so we picked a trail almost at random to one of the popular arches in Arches National Park outside of Moab, and we struck off together down that trail. We hiked off through that beautiful country until we came to a place called Double Arch, which is literally two arches together. After absorbing that beauty, we had a light lunch, and then we decided to return to our car by what was termed by the Park Service as a primitive trail. Well, as Robert Frost once wrote, sort of, two trails diverged, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. At one point on this backcountry trail, I found myself standing on top of one of those immense sandstone fens and looked out over God's gorgeous wilderness. Jane and Zach and our friends had taken off down the trail, and they were out of my sight beyond the rocks in the distance. But as I looked, I was looking out over the blue sky and that blaring winter sunshine of crystal clear air off to the horizon in every direction, at least 50 to 75 miles in the distance as I turned my head around. And nowhere did I see another person. Nowhere did I see any sign of civilization. Nothing but God's gorgeous earthly creation. Sandstone fens and boulders all around me. The LaSalle Mountains in the far distance, and up close juniper and pinyon trees and cactus and sunshine everywhere. And I wondered as I stood there alone if this was perhaps what Jesus was feeling during some of his wilderness wanderings. And it was there, also in the memory and the imagination of that moment, that several things became clear to me. As much as I would like to find something meaningful to say from the pulpit, it is a humbling and completely necessary thing for me to admit to you that the preacher's job is to speak the message that God would have us hear. It's not about me. It's about God. And as an impossible a task as that truly is, that is what I try to do every week, to allow God to speak through my words. And I believe that as God spoke to me this week, perhaps God is using me to convey to you this message of Lent and how we might best approach this 40-day period of repentance and humility. When Jesus was in the wilderness for those 40 days, he was greatly tempted by the devil. Jesus was trying to spend time in thought and prayer with God the Father, and yet he was tempted with food and power and prestige. And clearly, Jesus was able to withstand these huge temptations because he knew who he was. He knew whose he was, and he understood God's will for all people. And there is the lesson for us in the 21st century as well. Just as Jesus did, each of us should try to spend time alone in the wilderness in thought and prayer with God. And when I talk about time in the wilderness, I don't mean literal wilderness, but I mean the time inside your own head. Time alone. Time with God. Time with Holy Scripture. And sometimes this is more difficult and filled with more temptation than being with other people in the everyday world. God is asking us to get away, to be alone, and to focus on God. And although you probably won't be directly confronted by the devil as Jesus was, and you won't be taken to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, you will face temptations. It's somewhat of a rhetorical question, but I want to ask you this anyway, and I want you to consider it. How many of us are afraid to be alone? If you're honest with yourself, are you afraid to be alone? How many of us, if we had quiet time alone, which would much rather pick up a newspaper or a book or go online to the internet, or that most common temptation of all, to turn on the TV and start surfing the endless channels of inane programming? How many of us, away from the questions of your pastor, would not often consider sitting down with the Bible and reading a passage and then sitting quietly to listen to God? Well, that, I believe, is exactly what God asks of each of us during Lent. We have so many temptations in our lives, so many distractions, so many worthwhile tasks that we ought to be accomplishing, that we are often pushed to frustration. But we have the choice. We can choose to be quiet, to be alone, and to listen to what God has to say to us. Yes, you might argue that is simply prayer, but this is not the kind of prayer where we list all of those things that we want for God to do for us. Time in the wilderness of Lent means the kind of prayer where we simply allow God to speak to us, to help us understand our place in God's kingdom and what we can do to help bring about the realization of that kingdom. Hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what I'm asking of you is that each of us make the effort to go alone into this wilderness for 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes during Lent, every day, to master those temptations and to listen quietly to God, simply to listen and then respond. And that will make all the difference. To help you get started, I'm asking you now, right now, to close your eyes and to go to that wilderness right now. And for the next few moments of silence, I want you to listen to God. My brothers and sisters, by God's grace and the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, may you learn to love this wilderness. Amen.